You're listening to Extra Time, driven by Continental.
How are you feeling after that, Matt?
I feel a lot better than Bob.
Extra Time is exactly how I find out what's going on in the MLS.
Maybe this podcast has influenced me a little bit as well.
Get lost.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here!
Welcome, everybody, to Extra Time, driven by Continental and MLSsoccer.com. You can watch us on YouTube. You can listen to us wherever you're listening to us. Currently, on your podcast, it is MLS is back semifinals night. Two semifinals. We have finished the second one. Minnesota United falling to Orlando City. We've got a final coming up next Tuesday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, TSN, Tevia, wherever you're going to watch your games. But we have so much to cover. We are so excited. David Goss here with, I'm going to say it for the last time, because Andrew Wiebe is returning next week, my partners in soccer. You are all welcome to choose to not be Andrew's partners in soccer, but you are my partners in soccer. Charlie Davies, Doyle, you're back in. Matt Doyle, and the number one cat burglar in ETR history, Kaelin Gunn.
Kaelin, right.
You've made a little bit of a set change. Before we get into the games, just give us the background. What's going on? It's a beautiful orange door. You've got a nice situation.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I don't know. I don't even know whose house this is, man. I'm just outside. I sourced. They've got some pretty good Wi-Fi here. The stream numbers look strong. And yeah, I don't know. It's late for you guys, but I'm actually on the West Coast. I came to visit my mom at a distance. So,
so this is where we're at.
PM for you.
What's that?
9:35 p.m.
Yeah, it's nice.
At any point, someone could just stroll home and just see you in the entryway.
Dude, I mean, I imagine there's probably a lot of Extra Time fans out here. Doyle used to live here, so there's you know, people will they'll understand. Plus, it's the Bay Area, man. It's all peace and love.
It's the least weird thing that's happening.
I mean, the only thing is they'd probably tell me to put on a mask.
As you should.
Yeah,
you should.
No offense to Georgia, but coming from Georgia to here, seems like people are following the rules.
So we've reached the point of this whole thing where Kaelin's walking down the street doing speed internet tests. People's internets. Yeah. But at least we have our own Anthony Fauci in Kaelin Carr, and he looks good in his black beanie as well. We are super excited to be here because Nani is super excited to be here. He took like a year, but he loves MLS now, and he loves being a part of this. He led Orlando to a win. Portland Timbers getting a victory as well over the Philadelphia Union. So Kaelin's winner is out, and I'm sorry about that because I was really riding that heater that Kaelin was on from day one, guaranteeing Philly. We've got Daniel Cluley, who is a Orlando City fan. I asked, is there anyone out there who has anything for us mailbag-wise coming into this late-night special? He says, all of us need purple drink. Does anyone have purple drink with them to celebrate Orlando?
Purple drink.
Oh, my goodness.
So there's no hypnotic on the show right now.
I guess no.
No.
This is brown liquor.
Let's give a cheers to Benji Michelle, Oscar Pareja, and everyone else out there in ETR land. Cheers to you. You can cheers us. Anyone who's listening to this on Friday morning, feel free to drink now. You're officially invited.
I want to take this opportunity to thank Doyle. This is a Heineken 0.0. I saw his influence, and I was heavily influenced. So. Cheers to Doyle for this.
Cheers to soccer, Kaelin. Cheers to soccer.
He's actually in his Heineken seat right now, stadium seat.
Oh, Doyle. I love this turn of Doyle to from analyst to influencer. I knew this day would come. I'm just happy to be here to witness the full transformation. And yeah, man, how far you've come. It's awesome.
Hashtag ad.
Hashtag promo.
Doyle's just going to start wearing a t-shirt on TTR that just says hashtag ad. Everything he says is now officially an ad.
Yeah. Blackheart Pub paying you for that.
There you go. They're paying me nothing, man. I just love Wes. I'm repping Minnesota United tonight. I thought they played great. I thought they were one of the best stories of the whole tournament. Orlando City were a better team. they had more difference makers. Their DP stepped up. But like, you got to respect what the Loons did from day one of this tournament. And that's why I'm wearing my black hat of St. Paul.
Shout out to Wes.
Yeah, right. Shout out to Wes. There you go. A star of the movement. And by the way, Kalen, the El Paso episode of the movement, folks, find it on the MLS YouTube page. It's been on MLSsoccer.com for a little bit as well. If you had thrown a cat in there, probably would have lasted longer on the front page.
Oh, here we go.
But you could have won an Emmy for that, by the way, too.
Yeah.
Thank you, man. I'm glad you guys had Ale on Monday. I heard that conversation with him and his work. I don't know. I thought it should have been maybe more celebrated at the time. But we know from experience and history tells us that in the moment of activism or protest, it's not always received as well as it should be. And so I think a year later, it was a good time to bring it back. And in this moment now where we're seeing so many more MLS players continuing to speak up, whether it's gun violence, whether it's anti-racism, xenophobia, whatever it might be. So, thank you. Appreciate it. And if you guys haven't heard it, go check the video out.
This is one of the best episodes we've ever done. Doyle and Kalen out here just hosting, doing their thing. Doyle did bring up soccer at some point. So I'm going to try to.
I tried to accidentally.
Charlie, Doyle mentioned it. Minnesota came out flying in this game. They tried to press Orlando high. Seemed like they had some success. And then Jensen goes over the top to Nani. He's super good at soccer. I think he might be a player for the future. Mm-hmm. Him and Cash Mueller for a while on the wings. What'd you make of the game?
I literally thought this is exactly how it was going to play out. I didn't know Minnesota was going to be so aggressive to start the game, but they wanted to get that early goal because it would obviously make the game a lot easier with the style that they typically play, which is sit back, counter, use set pieces. And when you're trying to play against Minnesota and they have the lead, it's a very difficult game because they don't give you much. But fortunately for Orlando, they could break that pressure, which made Orlando push back, Minnesota push back a little bit and gave them time and space in that middle half of the field. So Robin Jansen could come up without pressure and then pick his head up and then play that long ball to Nani. And we talked about it at pregame. It was going to be Nani versus Dotson. That was going to be a huge battle throughout the game. Whoever got the better of that side, because whether you're talking about Dotson and Nani or Ethan Finley and Jao Moutinho, those were going to be the big battles. Those were going to be the important battles for this match. And whoever could get the nod was going to win this game. Nani proved that he's got it. He still got it. And so when he got that first goal, and the first touch was marvelous. But it was that second touch that goes unnoticed to give him a little bit more of a cushion. And so Dotson can either A, foul him for a PK, or B, you can't touch him and you let him get his shot off. You try and disturb him. But then that toe poke for the third touch, it doesn't give Tyler Miller a chance to settle and make that save. So it was just a flawless performance from Nani on that occasion. And then it sets up the second goal because now Dotson's got it in his mindset. Oh man, here comes Nani. He just burned me for this first opening goal. Now I got to drop off a little bit, give him time and space. Jao Moutinho, growing into the player he is, notices Dotson dropping off and goes, ah, this is my time to get involved in the attack. Let me make that overlapping run. Dotson now has to hesitate a little bit even longer than he probably normally would have. And so that gives Nani another second to take a touch inside and curl it around for the second. And at that point, you're down two goals. It really seemed for me that it was just too big of a lead for Minnesota to get back in. You inject Kevin Molino. The game changes. Hot boy. Why wouldn't you put him on at half? If he's good to go, put him on at half. Because you needed that number 10. You're down two goals. You can't have, no offense to Ja'Cory Hayes and Ozzie Alonso, they can't make the game. They're not number 10s. They're not going to dribble by people. They're not going to play that killer ball. They don't have that in their game. They're more of a defensive mindset. They have that mentality where they're going to break up plays, you know, make those crucial tackles, but they're not going to make the game. And that hurt Minnesota in the long run.
Yeah, I don't disagree with any of that. And I think that a lot of what we saw in the first half hour was Minnesota doing what they did so well against San Jose. When they came out and they gave San Jose a taste of their own medicine with this man-to-man press, and they just pushed them up the field, and they forced San Jose into mistakes. And San Jose's a mistake-prone team that ended up being the end of them in this tournament. Oscar Pereja knew that was coming. He absolutely clearly knew it was coming, and he absolutely clearly said to his team, we're going to play through it. It doesn't matter what Minnesota throws. We played through LAFC's press. We played through NYCFC's press. We're not going to get thrown off by Minnesota United's press. And Minnesota, I mean, give them a ton of credit. They played with energy. They played, I thought, with a good deal of smarts. Orlando City were just too good. And in Mauricio Pereira, I mean, Nani was the star of the show. Nani has been, it's either him or Sebastian Blanco for the MVP. But yep. Mauricio Pereira's ability to just control the shape of the opposing midfield is incredible. If you watch that second goal, he actually drifts back into the side, and then he goes and gets Ozzie Alonso. It's the same thing that they did to Montreal with Victor Wanyama. Like, Pereja said specifically, our goal was to use Pereira as a decoy to get Wanyama out of that middle and allow us to play through there. And that's exactly where they created that goal. They did the same thing to Ozzie Alonso, who, for my money, is the greatest defensive midfielder this league has ever seen. They dragged him out of the midfield with Pereira's movement. And then once he was gone, they played right across zone 14 to get the ball to Nani. And now there's no defensive midfielder there. So first of all, you could play across zone 14. And second of all, Nani has the ability to make that little feint and come into his right because there's no help for Hassani Dotson, who suddenly has to worry about Nani and has to worry about Moutinho on the overlap. It was just brilliant game planning. It was brilliant execution. The way this team is playing under Oscar Pereja after 8 games, it's blowing my mind. The fact that it has been, because like, last year with the Revs, with Bruce, he got them playing really well and really hard, really quickly, but they were just like grinding a lot of stuff out. With Orlando City, they're just beating the hell out of teams, good teams. They're taking them apart by using the ball and possessing the ball. And it's like they have been the best team in this tournament, and it's been fun to watch.
Do you think Ozzie Alonso is better than Shalrie Joseph?
So I don't think Shalrie was a pure six. I think Shalrie was more of an eight, right? He was more of a get on the ball and dictate. And Shalrie was at his best when Laurentiewicz, I think, was behind him doing, you know, more of the hard man dirty work. But I would take them both in my central midfield if you're asking.
Guys, we've done all the best of lists. We can't go back in time. We've got to move on. I know it's in our
I was just
DNA
throwing
now.
It out there.
That's I know. Yeah, I hear you. I wanted to give a shout out to Chris Armas. Or, you know, there was a couple. But
Armas is number two on the list. Anyway, go ahead.
but yeah, I mean, I think you're right. In the way that Orlando played, it kind of, you know, I mean, it was beautiful stuff where the way they were moving the ball at times, it looked kind of like LAFC, where yep. they were just spreading it side to side. And that's the biggest thing for me was, look, they were able to kind of, they have that threat in behind and they can hurt you that way. But when you can play through the middle the way they were and just so dynamic, and then they start really flying down the wings and you can't ignore one side because you got Juan coming down the right flank. And so you start looking on that side and Mueller, and then next thing you know, Mendez hits that sort of long switch that just floated diagonal to Nani, who's just waiting there face up one-on-one at that point. Yeah. And then you're sitting there like, all right, Nani one-on-one, this is a problem. And then Moutinho starts overlapping down the left-hand side, and you're saying, oh man, all right, now Dotson, to Charlie's point, takes a step back just to kind of, you know, guard against that clear lane. So, the way that they're able to stretch the field and then overload a side and then switch the point of attack through Mendez or Pereira has made it really tough for teams to get you know, even close to the ball, or they're getting overloading the numbers. The thing I do think Minnesota United was, while they were aggressive, I thought it didn't work clearly because they were a little too stretched at times and created, they couldn't really get around Orlando. For large portions of that first half. And at that point, they're chasing a hole. So I thought it was a big risk to come out in it against San Jose. We saw it worked. But in the second match against Orlando, is a little bit better, maybe with the ball and especially through through the back and coming around. Just it put them in a big hole, and I don't think Portland will take that same approach. And I think while Ozzie Alonso is you know one of the best ever to do it, he's not as mobile as he used to be. And same with Gregouche. He's a great player, especially with the ball, but he's not going to be able to just really mow teams down the way that we've seen Williamson and the way we've seen Chara cover ground. So I think if you're Portland and you're watching this film, you're probably going to say you're not going to go as open as Minnesota was. And Minnesota took a big risk to try and go forward for it and really push the game, but just fell behind and the gap got too big.
One thing I will say that I wasn't necessarily expecting was Tesho Akindele was largely ineffective. Mm-hmm. He normally wasn't either finishing on the end of the service or just didn't seem like he was making the right runs. Typically, you just need work right from that position and someone who can score or give a little bit more with their runs and holding and being able to connect passes. If they were able to get a number nine, a DP nine that could, you know, score goals for them, you're already vaulting from the basement to, you know, top tier, but we're talking basement to 1, 2, 3, you know, that type of jump.
Duvan Zapata type, maybe?
Hey, if they got Duvan Zapata.
Orlando Hammers tweeted at us, Charlie, and said, if this team gets a true, not proven striker, instantly they're the best team in the Eastern Conference.
I'm not willing to do that.
You're in a final without one.
Come on. let's take it easy now. Let's take it a step back. This is the MLS's back tournament. It is a tournament, and they've done fantastic, but this is not a whole regular season in an MLS Cup playoffs. You need a full sample size. There's so many things that you can throw a wrench into this MLS's back term and say, hey, look at the 4-month layoff. How much time did we get with our group of players? Or two, Dallas, you know, Nashville, although Nashville wasn't really going to compete for the championship, but a team like Dallas is.
Oh, we would have said that about Orlando before the tournament. Too. Yeah,
whoa. Not the same.
Just saying. Cincinnati made it out of the group.
They did. And maybe Nashville makes it out of the group, but we're not talking champions here. But like I said, it's the MLS back tournament. You're talking about all these different factors that play into, you know, a team maybe not performing at their best. But I think Antonio Carlos has been, well, you throw in Pedro Galese, who's also been phenomenal when you finally have a goalkeeper who's going to make a standard save and not leak a unsuspecting shot in. But Antonio Carlos is a center back who can break pressure as well, stepping up with the ball, the confidence of a center back to I'm going to dribble out of pressure and then make that pass, that actual smart decision as well. He's been fantastic for Orlando City. When you have a center back who can make the game, who can organize, who can cover Robin Jansen, who doesn't have the most pace, but when you have Antonio Carlos, who can read and anticipate plays and cover for Robin Jansen when he doesn't have the pace, that makes a massive difference. And the spine is strong for Orlando, and that really helps them when you're talking about attacking. Like Kalen said, being able to switch the point of attack, they can hit you from both flanks. And that's a dynamic team, whether they keep possession or counter, they have all the pieces.
So we're going to talk about the final coming up, and we've got a show on Monday, full time to preview the final, Portland against Orlando, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time next Tuesday. Kalen, first I want to ask, you know, Doyle's got the Blackheart shirt on. If you're a Minnesota fan, if you're a Minnesota player, if you're part of that team, tonight, tomorrow, what's the feeling? What's the reaction to their entire time in Orlando?
I thought they did fantastic. I mean, when you look at what they were missing, too, to me, they were missing their three top players, potentially, or most important players. Aiko Parra, MLS Defender of the Year. Metinier, their only all-star. I don't know if you want to put much stock in that, but I mean, he was, you know, clearly one of the best right backs in the league, and that would allow Dotson to move into that midfield role when we talked about that mobility and the way he was able to really hunt down Nagby at times. You lost some of that tonight just by him being able to having to go to that right-hand side. And then Molina is, you know, was not available and missed large stretches, one of their more creative players. But when you think about potentially bringing those three guys back into the fold, and then you look at them potentially going out and getting another big piece, the rumored for Reynoso, right?
Say
and,
it. Make it true, Kalen. Speaking into existence.
I mean, but even without, even just with those three back, if those guys are all back, I mean, that could be you know, a huge piece for them going forward. So, look, they, you know, they can talk about underdogs and things like that. I don't put too much stock in that. I think they get a lot of respect across the league for good reason. I didn't pick them to go as far as they did, mainly because they were missing those players. And but I think they put on a good performance. You forgot the other part. Free
Mason toy.
Charlie's holding up the Mason toy.
Teach him how to head the ball.
Wow. This is why Doyle's not a partner in soccer, because he hates soccer.
Okay, let's go to this, because we've seen how we were talking about this in the post game, Charlie and I. But this is a little bit more of an open format, so.
Everyone listening,
open-minded.
Everyone listening via podcast, Charlie Davies held up a piece of paper that said Mason toy.
It said free Mason toy. We added free to it.
Yeah, free right. Mason toy.
Sorry. Continue, Kalen.
Chuck, what do you do? I mean, do you just say, hey, this is, you know, give this kid the keys and let him grow and play? Because part of me feels like he's playing with it, looking over his shoulder. And we know as young players in MLS, it's a tough situation to earn playing times and get minutes and build that confidence, because it's come in spurts and you feel like you're going to get the yank. But you also have to, take those chances. And I've seen Jeremy Obobese do that, where he didn't always have the trust. And even at times still, I'm wondering.
Yeah, he might not be the guy.
But I think he has made it almost impossible to keep him off the pitch at this point. And I haven't quite seen that yet from Mason on a consistent basis, but I feel like the talent is there. I know it's there because we've seen it in these moments. And I hate to say it, but I kind of feel like in some ways, you know, you make the big money striker, the foreign striker signing, and that can tip the scales and make it even harder to break through. So I'd like to see him get more time too, because I know the talent is there. And Amaria, he's been good, but I haven't seen it where I'm like, man, he just gives so much to the team that you just couldn't take him off either.
But Kalen, can I ask this? That the Amaria signing makes sense to an extent of like, that's where you spend money. It's almost the Schoenfeld signing, where it's like, who's your backup? And they went out and got a veteran to fill that spot over Mason Toy, where, okay, you don't want to go into the season with Mason Toy as your starting striker locked in. That makes sense to an extent. Give him the minutes outside of the ones Amaria is going to play. And they went out of their way to get a third striker in who isn't for the future, you know, has to play now, because he's 30 years old and that's what you're going to do. And it almost feels like that's even the harder part of what they've done, which is they've basically acknowledged that Mason Toy doesn't really have a place in the team.
I thought Schoenfeld did well in that first match that he came into. And so, you know, I think that should be acknowledged. And I think he's also the type of piece where, especially the way they play and the way they try and use set pieces and size, that's just, it fits the profile of their team and what they want to do. But I don't have a problem with them bringing in that signing. I think it's more how they're using them, where at times Schoenfeld is getting picked over Toy. And Toy is getting a run from the start, but not a lot. He's going to have to win it out, or he's going to have to move on. He's either going to have to win that spot and make no mistake about it, and that's going to be, that may be tough, or he's going to have to find a team and maybe a change of scenery where I think he can start to shine.
Does everyone want to pick a team for Mason Toy to end up at in MLS, and then we'll make them change?
Minnesota United. He's already won the job once. He won the job last year when he got the shot. He's going to get a shot this year because, as you said, Amaria is not adding so much that it's like, oh, you have to play him. And look, he was not as good as, he was not as dangerous as Aaron Schoenfeld was in this tournament. But from what we've heard, and I don't know Mason Toy, but like from what we've heard from people on the loons who, you know, play with the kid, he has a work ethic. He's like, he devours film.
I think we may have lost Charlie.
He wasn't as good. He still doesn't know what spots to take up in buildup. Like, and if you can't, as a number nine, if you can't help your team in buildup, then you better score every chance you're getting.
This is the new cover photo for ETR.
And the other thing is, like, he does have to learn how to head the ball. You know, like, that was the difference between...
Because he had one chance that just grazed his head. Now we're holding that against the player.
Charlie, he was 4 yards out. All he had to do was nod his head forward. It was a right run. I was impressed with his run on the first goal. I think he has a ton of talent. But Adrian Heath has already shown that he can, if he performs, he could win the job. So I don't understand why we would be talking about what team we want for him next.
Because then they...
Okay, how much time did Mason Toy get in this tournament? How much time? Because... If I'm correct, he played the first game of the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Now
got hurt, right?
Well, he was ineffective. Then he got hurt.
Either way, 4 months without a competitive game, and you're going to grade a striker on his first game back, a young striker who still is looking over his shoulder, hasn't gotten confidence from a coach, because this is a player who played away at LAFC and banged a brace. He mm-hmm. showed his talent, whether it was in USO's Open Cup or in MLS regular season games. He's a young American striker. He needs opportunity. He needs chances. We've seen that with Obobese, but I think he even has some tools that Obobese doesn't have.
Bro, you were so down on Obobese when I was telling you about him.
Yes, I'm 100%. I'm not doubting that. I mm-hmm. did have my doubts in Obobese being a lone striker in MLS as a number nine. Now, what I've never doubted is Mason Toy thriving in MLS. I've mm-hmm. never doubted after I've seen enough from him. I've saw two matches from him, and I knew he had what it takes to be a successful striker in MLS. Has he gotten the proper opportunities for him to shine? You played Angelo Rodriguez at Minnesota, who had, what, 2 goals in a year? In a year? You're telling me that is a player that you bring in to take away time from a young American striker who has talent and potential to be one of the top strikers in the league. Come on now. And now he has one game, doesn't play at all after that. Not even a wink of an eye. Maybe he's lucky to warm up. You throw him in a desperation mode in the last game against Orlando. He makes a great run, a brilliant run, and finishes. And you're telling me he doesn't warrant time? Aaron Schoenfeld can't do that. He had his opportunity in the match before with San Jose and came up with a goose egg. we've seen what he's done in MLS. He's 30 years old. If you're Adrian Heath, if you're upper management, it's time to say, you know what? We're talking about investment. This is a young American striker we have who has potential, and he hasn't fulfilled it yet. He showed flashes. Well, we play him over a 30-year-old American striker who you're lucky to get one goal with. It's just a target striker. Of course you play Mason Toy. And so that's why I'm frustrated, because a player like that in this league needs playing time. So you either play him or you ship him and get some money, get something in return for him. And there are plenty of teams in MLS that need a player like Mason Toy, whether that's Red Bull, whether that's Atlanta, whether that's Salt Lake. There are, whether that's
Montreal.
There are tons of teams who can use a player like Mason Toy. So there you go.
I'll retract my analysis. I love the fact that we
say anything.
No, the fact that we have someone who's even more play your kids than I am on the show. Finally, after 10 years, Charlie Dave, respect.
So I feel like Weeby's going to come back from paternity leave and be like, why are we talking about Mason Toy for 45 minutes? This show is out of control. So I'm going to reel us back in for a second. Okay. We will have some Chase Gasper talk coming up in the mailbag.
Yep.
More young American players on Minnesota who balled out today. Let's get to the other game for like 10 seconds. Portland versus Philly. 2-1 win for Portland. Kalen, you walk away from this game. It feels like one where Portland's been great this competition, but Philly lost this game for themselves. 2 set piece goals. They didn't mark. They didn't track. They didn't create opportunities throughout most of the game. This was the team you picked. I get it. They were awesome. What did you take away from their semifinal loss?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of just summed it up. You can't, in a knockout game, you can't lose your mark on set pieces. Set pieces make a difference in games like this. And then, yeah, they missed the penalty as well just before halftime. And I thought that was big as far as getting themselves back into the game and getting that momentum. So Philly, look, they really did progress, I think, and were one of the more entertaining teams to watch. Especially I felt like they were getting stronger as the tournament went on. Andre Blake was amazing in goal. Mark McKenzie, I thought, was the standout. Elliott looked really good, especially in that last game. Kai Wagner had some really good moments. I mean, they had Brendan Aaronson. I think we may have seen the last of him in MLS. I don't know. But if we did, it was a really, incredible. It's been awesome to watch his progression. From a young guy that a guy is really wants to go grab the game. And Sergio Santos, yeah, he missed the final penalty, and that's going to leave a sour taste in his mouth. But I mean, he was excellent as well. And there were a couple things where I would say there's room for improvement. Where I still don't think Shabilko and Santos really connect. It's either one or the other, where you either have Shabilko going or it's Santos, and that helps. But they just haven't been able to really have a vibe together if you're going to be playing with two strikers like that. And then they sometimes come alive later when it just goes down to one and it's either Santos or it's either Shabilko. And then you bring in El Seno and the tactics and the formation change a little bit. So getting those guys connected would be big, but you know, for all the progress they've made, it feels like, I don't know. It's just the set pieces part. That's a part where you're like, man, how do you leave Sebastian Blanco open like that? It's a little frustrating, but I still think that this Philly team, for what they've done overall, is one of the top teams in the East. And I think they're breaking through into this top tier in MLS. The question they'll have is, you know, as we're on this play your kids talk, is how do they approach this transfer window with Mark McKenzie and Brendan Aaronson getting so much attention. And I think they want to move them on. I think it'd be great, not just for their club, but I think for the league. And it's a testament to showing that if you do invest in young talent and you're willing and you're ambitious and you want to sell them on, you know, that's a big one. I mean, Brendan Aaronson's been coached by Jim Curtin since he was a little kid. I think Jim was one of the big proponents of signing him to a first team deal and giving him minutes as well. And so now you're seeing that actually pay off. So to Charlie's point, there's a real financial piece to this as well, where the money that they put in that and they take out of that will now come back in if they do decide to move on. But it puts pressure because we've seen clubs like Red Bull sell on and you lose some really important players and it becomes tough. So it puts a lot of pressure on to create more of them within the organization as well. So yeah, I don't know. That's my loose thoughts.
So can we get a Timbers take before we go deep Philly selling everyone?
What the Timbers have done in terms of how they've almost entirely changed their approach to the game in terms of building out a midfield and how they use their fullbacks, I didn't see coming. I mean, you could say that it's a bigger surprise than what Orlando City have done, because Portland only had two ways for the first 2 years under Gio Savarese. It was either a counterattack or it was get the fullbacks up, staple them to the touch lines, and just send in a bunch of crosses. That was it. So to see them, I mean, they don't, other than the game against Cincinnati, they have not hit many crosses. The ones they have hit, they have been like purposeful and well-worked. When you're combining with Blanco drifting out to the left and Viafania overlapping and Valeri coming out there, it has been fun to watch. And then the biggest individual surprise of the tournament, it's not Ayo Akinola. It's the fact that Eric Williamson has stepped into this team and changed their ability to use the ball and to drive forward out of midfield. Because Christian Paredes is a good player, but he was kind of redundant in terms of he does a lot of what Diego Chara does and not too many different things. With Williamson, he's just so comfortable receiving the ball in traffic and so aggressive and smart about his
runs off the ball into the attack. I mean, the assist he had to Valeri against Houston is just like textbook. Okay, this is what you want your number eight to do. It's been really fun and really unexpected to watch. And at the same time, you get this thing where it's evolving and it's no longer Diego Valeri's team. It's just not. Sebastian Blanco's the best player on the team. So it has this sort of subtext of, are they going to be able to get Diego Valeri to accept the El Senior role?
I think so.
I hope so. Because if you're only asking him to play 30 or 35 minutes a game, he could play till he's 40. And I would like to have another 5 years of watching Diego Valeri play soccer. First of all, because he's brilliant. And second of all, because if he plays till he's 40, his hair is going to be the same as mine, because that man's going bald. I don't want to have to talk with him. But like this Timbers
Doyle, team. Doyle, you should have gone with the man bun, man. You made a big mistake.
Yeah, right?
You could have stretched this out a little bit.
But it, like, honestly, this Timbers team is set up so well, and it's really gratifying to see, because 24 years ago, Gio Savarese was my favorite soccer player. So watching him evolve into this coach in MLS and do it and create this depth and do it by developing, you know, young South Americans, young domestic players, and getting the best out of veteran players like Valeri and Chara and Blanco in different roles. It's been fun. Like, I didn't expect the Portland Timbers to be fun this summer, and they really have been. Taquito agrees. For all the folks who are listening instead of watching, Taquito has joined us for this segment.
It's one of those moments where you realize during a global pandemic at 1:10 a.m. Eastern time, you're talking to someone via some app who's petting a cat now and describing soccer tactics and his favorite player in 1986. And you got to ask what your wife is, and you got to wonder what's going on.
You get paid for this. You actually get paid for this.
Well, rumor has it. Unconfirmed every once in a while. Charlie, we had the question, and Kalen already brought it up, and you guys touched on it, and maybe I can get you rolling again on another one. But JDB on Twitter says, Obobese's now started, been the starting forward for two different tournament runs. Mm-hmm. If you include MLS Cup in 2018, what else do you need to see from him that to prove that he's the starter for that team?
I think if he could be a little bit more influential on the ball, as far as can he turn his defenders when center backs come and press up against him, can he turn? Can he create on the pass, on that first touch? His first touch, I think, lets him down at times. But when we spoke to him for the MLS Classics remix, when they played that 2018 MLS Cup final against Atlanta, he talked about, man, having those opportunities, that first touch that led to the first goal that Joseph Martinez scored, and Parkhurst reading it. He knew he had to be better in every facet of the game and improve to warrant playing time on this Portland Timbers side. And I think he's taken those necessary steps. Hold up play has been, I think, much, much better. Using his body, he's got a big body, he's strong, using it well. But I think where he's really improved is his runs, whether it's a decoy run to create space for Valeri, Blanco, etc., or just to make a run to put himself in a position where Blanco can play that ball into his feet, where we saw and him get that ball on the left side and bury it to the far post along the ground. He's just making himself better because he's showing himself up in different spots. And if you can do that as a striker, be unpredictable where you show up, whether it's in between the lines, whether it's stretching the back line, making runs to create more space underneath, or checking deep and drawing a center back out of space, or two, because I think Jozy Altidore does that so well, is drawing both center backs, not one, but two. And when you do that, you're allowing your wingers to come inside and take that space that the center backs have left. So if he can continue to keep developing, now we're talking about an influential player in every facet of the game for the Portland Timbers in the attack.
You mentioned Minnesota missing pieces. Yimi Chara, a DP, didn't even play in this game. They still got the win in the semifinals. Doyle, let's look ahead real quick. We've got more time on Monday, but first thoughts, first reactions to Portland versus Orlando. Whoa, that took a second. Portland versus Orlando in the final. What's the first thing that comes to mind in this matchup?
My head is still on Orlando's ability to create chances with the ball. Their ability to, whether it's been facing a low block or a high press or anything in the middle, they have just relentlessly been about using the ball. So if you want one takeaway, it's can Portland destroy that? And if they can they get out and transition where even like the Timbers are much better with the ball than they used to be. And they're very good on set pieces. But this is still, you know, Diego Valeri, Sebastian Blanco and Diego Chara. They're going to be a transition team. So I think that like that is the first thing that popped into my head.
Well, Chara rolled the clock back last performance.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked like a 25-year-old Diego Chara, the way he was moving and getting, and he came up with some sort of injury in the beginning of the game. I was thinking, oh yeah, man, if Chara's out of this match,
it is
over for Portland. And he somehow just said, oh, let me put on this magic cream and heal myself. And
magic spray.
He was bionic. It was a masterful performance from Diego Chara. One that when you talk about Ozzie Alonso being the greatest defensive midfielder in this league, I have a hard time just saying, yeah, it's Ozzie, because you know Diego Chara is every bit as good as Ozzie Alonso, and he showed it in this match, where whether it was breaking up plays, whether it was anticipating where the ball was going to show up, pop up for the second balls, whether it was breaking press and dribbling into the attacking third. I mean, he doesn't have the shot or that final pass, but he has everything else. And he's just a pit bull. Exactly. He's the same mold as Ozzie Alonso. So with that being said, I think Orlando plays into what Portland likes, which is getting your outside backs involved, attacking, getting numbers forward. Portland usually thrives in those situations. I mean, they've already played LFC as well. I mean, it was a 2-2 draw, but they showed they can handle teams that come forward and press relentlessly. I think it's going to be a fantastic matchup, but I do feel that Portland is pleased that it's Orlando and not Minnesota, because they had a tough time breaking down Cincinnati. They do have a tough time breaking down teams because the quality of teams when they sit back and just defend and lump balls forward, it's tough to break down. It's tough to play against. When teams are open and willing to attack, it allows Blanco and Valeri and Obobese to have a little bit more space, which it usually basically leads to shots and chances on goal.
We're going to get a winner coming up on Tuesday. That team's going to clinch a spot in the CCL next year. We got a question. Kalen, which of these two, as a neutral, as a pro MLS person, as a former Houston Dynamo player, I don't know how that's relevant, but I just figured I'd throw it in there. Which would you rather see in CCL?
You threw him for a loop there. I mean, you know where you're going with that.
You don't want to see Nani up against Alajuelense next year in Costa Rica. Do you want to see Diego Chara and Jeremy Obobese going down to Mexico? Kalen can't even think of 2021.
Oscar Pereira getting some revenge in Mexico.
Yeah.
Whoever wins this match. I mean, I think Portland is probably better. What's so funny?
I just like that your idea was whoever wins and gets the spot in CCL, the team we're going to play.
I mean, you guys, I'm not as dialed into every team that makes CCL. Like, I want to win CCL. I don't think Orlando's going to win CCL. Sorry. But that's the next step for MLS. So I'm looking at, you know, the clubs that are probably, you know, winning MLS Cup or winning the Supporter Shield, LAFC. Those are the types of clubs that I'm more focused on for CCL. I think Portland probably has more of the pieces and has a little bit, I think they have a little, maybe more of the savvy or know-how that they could do better in CCL. But then I think it would be kind of cool to see Orlando do it for a club that has never been to the playoffs, to flip this entire world in very 2020 fashion on its head, and to have Orlando City representing MLS in CCL would be kind of fun. I think it would be cool and really good for that club. And I think regardless of whether they get into CCL, they've done a lot. But getting this trophy for them and getting into CCL would mean more for Orlando City than it would for Portland.
There you go.
Merritt Paulson would say, you better watch your mouth.
Yeah, I'm going to get a text now. Now he wants in. It's a big prize for both. And that's part of why I think this tournament has added some real intrigue. Charlie knows there's a little bit of cash on the line for the players. You've been in the bubble for a while. It's nice to come home with a bigger check. But I think the CCL prize is the one that is the kind of like really longer lasting one that, you know, as a club, as a franchise, that's going to carry forward. And Orlando has a big, big chance. And I still think it would mean a little bit more for them just because they've suffered so much. And to kind of come on the other side of that and represent MLS would be quite the turn. It'd be pretty cool to watch.
And I would say as a neutral, you have two teams that are really strong right now and strong in general, but they both could spend more, especially on the Orlando side, right? They have DP spots available. Striker, maybe getting into CCL pushes those teams as a neutral. You know, I don't care, but I'm just saying.
I like where you're going with that. I like
maybe it pushes the ownership and Merritt Paulson's going to want to be the first one.
He's only 35 million. Hey, all I'm saying, he's only 35 million. You can get it done.
I'm not making your point, man. You giving up? Hey,
I mean, that's
35 million dollar signings.
Hey, Oscar Pereira saw Mason Toy tonight. He can say, okay, I can work with that. Bring him on over here. So
He's already got Terrell Dike. He's already got Stefano.
Oh, here we go. Come on. This is another option. Hey, but I...
Benji Stefano? Michelle scores.
I'm okay with Benji. I'm okay. If Minnesota bought Duvan Zapata with all that Target money, okay, and Mason Toy doesn't see the light of day, guess what? No one's talking about it. Everyone's saying... Yeah, okay, Zapata has his 30th goal of the tournament. Great, you know? So it's one of those things. I'm with you guys.
I think that Charlie needs to bring the sweatshirt, the Mickey Mouse sweatshirt for the Orlando bid over to Italy for Duvan Zapata. Oh, you like life in Italy? You could live in Orlando right next to Disney World every single day.
Every day.
We're talking yearly memberships. Let's go.
Kids, loving life. That's what it's about. Oh, your kids are happy every day? Yeah, of course. Orlando's the right move.
Oh, man. So there will be a final. I don't know if Duvan Zapata will be there. Questionable, but up in the air.
No. I think Leo Messi might be there.
There's a title. Or Luis Suarez. Or Eden Hazard. Or Claude Makélélé. One of them might show up.
Oh, actually... I had to say this though, because Kalen tweeted it. Jim Curtin with the Yeezys on the sideline. Can we talk about coaches and style and fashion? Jim Curtin, you're not suspecting him to come out with some Yeezys, but he said, guess what? I'm from Philly. This is how we show the world we got it. I'm in tune with the kicks and the culture. Comes out with the Yeezys.
Chuck, he has been on his shoe game for a long time. He's been using that allotment well since at least since I joined the Fire in 2006. Okay. I remember I was talking to Warren Cravon and he was like, he texted me, he's like, hey, low key, I think Jim has some sneakers like I see in the airport. And I was like, yeah, I'm telling you, he's got some. But I think, yeah, we should acknowledge, especially on a night of a brown liquor special, that congratulations officially to Jim Curtin, the first MLS manager to rock Yeezys and a Black Lives Matter t-shirt on the sideline.
There you go. And you can buy those.
So
you can buy those Black Lives Matter t-shirts on Warren Cravall's website.
Cravall.co.
Proceeds. Cravall, say it again.
Cravall.co.
Yeah. And you can Google how to spell Warren Cravall by just... Googling
Cravalle.
When's the last time anyone's been stung by a bee? Just curious.
Did you just get stung by a bee?
3 days ago, I got stung by a yellow jacket.
That's a lot worse.
I hadn't been stung since I was in second grade when I ran into a nest. Mm-hmm. And it is killing me. It is killing me.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I would suggest another glass of wine.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that might work.
I might be honest in saying, I don't think I've ever been stung by a bee or I just saw one. Oh,
yeah, lucky.
I'm not a Manch Vegas guy. You know, I'm not out there in the woods in New Hampshire. Yeah,
I got stung 24 times at once.
Oh my God. Yeah. Piece of advice, if it's yellow, avoid it. Run in the other direction.
Yeah. No, well, I hit the nest and exploded. And so
of course
I heard the bzzz. I was like, whoa, what's that? And then next thing I know, it's like I'm surrounded in yellow jacket. So there you go.
Next time on ETR, we're gonna bring a bee's nest and see what happens. We'll have David Beckham bring the bees and then
there you go.
Charlie. Try and torture them. So, last time plugging it, next Tuesday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time, the final of MLS is back, the first time ever. We will be back on Monday with a full preview. And then you've got MLS Today presented by AT&T pregame on Tuesday. You've got MLS Companion Show during the game where chaos ensues alongside me sometimes. And then postgame, you've got your postgame covered with these three beautiful gentlemen, as well as Susanna Collins and everyone else who knows things about soccer.
Wait, am I on the post game?
I have no idea what you do, Doyle, if I'm being honest. I didn't actually know you were even on this show, so I have no idea what's going on.
Are we recording? Wait,
this? No. This is all in your...
Hanging out.
Is this just a meeting? This is just a meeting, right?
Yeah, me and Doyle are about to get in a 45-minute thing about socialism, so get ready for that one.
Welcome to Scandinavia 2020.
Yes, Charlie gets it.
Come on, I lived there for 4 years.
MLS will be returning to play in market after MLS is back next Tuesday, of course, the last game. The details still coming out, so we'll discuss that coming forward as we learn more about it. Sounds like FC Dallas and Nashville will be the first game that's played because they have games to catch up. So they will play each other a couple times to get online with everyone else who played at least three group stage games, which count as regular season games. Moving on from that, we do have a designated player signing that happened out of all of this. We're talking Doyle. Mason Toy.
A little
We've
more.
Got everything going
a little
on.
Bit more.
Doyle over here just getting a little bit more of a pour. I've never seen
he said,
Doyle.
He said this. I needed him to go.
I've never seen Doyle's face this reactive. That's how you know the scotch is working. Doyle's a very, very good face.
So happy. My wife just took very, very good care of me. A little pour. Pour right there.
Doyle, after you take that sip, I want you to weigh in first on Drew Yearwood, 20-year-old English central midfielder from Brentford FC, came up through Southend, played like 60 times in League One for Southend, played 2 times ever for Brentford, who, of course, just lost to Fulham in the promotion playoff game to get from the Championship to the Premier
Greatest
League.
Goal of all time. Greatest goal of all time. What a moment.
On top of that, has played for the English youth national teams, is Barbudian, has not played for Barbados yet. At the full national team level, is still working his way into England. Young DP signing for the New York Red Bulls. What was your initial reaction?
I've never seen him play, so I can't tell you about his game. I know he's supposed to be a ball winner. I know he wasn't good enough to break through for a Brentford team this year that, as you said, almost got promoted to the Premier League. It's not the profile of what we see other teams, you know, using their DP slots on. I'm very skeptical about players who come in from the lower divisions of England. We've seen a lot of teams fall on their faces over the last couple of years by spending too much on those. But, you know, they have a new director of sport in David Thelwell. He has a really good reputation. Kevin Thelwell. So thank you. David Thelwell. He has a really good reputation. And they hired him to do work. And this is pretty clearly him doing work. So let's check in after 20 games, however, you know, whenever that brings us to, and then we'll see.
I'm okay with that. Does anyone else have anything they want to weigh in on? Nice. There you go. I will say this. I will step up and say something. Most of the English Championship players you mentioned are like 29 to 35. This is a 20-year-old, and you look at a league there where the only thing that matters is getting results and moving up to the next level. It's not really the place young players develop. It's odd to see a team shopping in England. It doesn't seem like you'd get good deals, but there has been a lot of reports, people saying that the best technical young players in the world are coming out of England right now, so maybe New York Red Bulls have a
seat. Is this Jadon Sancho then?
Yeah, tell that to Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain and Theo Walcott if you can't play as a young player in the championship.
What just happened? How did I get pegged with Theo Walcott all of a sudden?
I'm just saying, you said you can't develop as a young player in the championship.
I don't know that it's the league where you really give young guys a chance.
I'm saying if you got it, you got it.
No, so let me ask you this. If a player is one step off Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain or Theo Walcott, they're not good enough to play in MLS?
But that seems like a completely
random
hypothetical.
Yeah.
And probably not applicable.
Okay. On all of that.
You think a guy who couldn't break through for Brentford is just one tier down from Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain?
Have you seen him play?
I've not.
So how do you know?
Fair, yeah. Checkmate. Okay.
And on that note, two pieces of news. Minnesota United have signed a new defender. Bakaye Dibasi, a TAM defender, 30-year-old Mali international at times. And FC Dallas has released Jesse Gonzalez after an investigation into domestic abuse that occurred during this COVID-19 layoff. Jesse Gonzalez, no longer part of that club. Let's get into the mailbag and let's start with the big things. Ben at Bumpkick Spike on Twitter says, make up your best Disney-themed goal celebrations. Charlie, you are the goal celebration guy. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
On that. You are the Disney guy. I'm not going to say congratulations on that. Well, I just said it. It's just a reality.
No, thank you.
You're the one in a Mickey sweatshirt.
No, thank you.
If you're going to MLS's back in Disney, yes. What's the celebrations that are on the plate?
Well, I'll give you a couple. All right. Ooh. One is Rafiki holding Simba in the air, right? So you grab either the ball or a teammate. If you got a big teammate who's strong, who can pick you up in the air.
Kendall Waston and Frankie Amaya?
Yes. Like the young king, right? You put the young king up. I love that goal celebration. Oh, man. Okay. Two, maybe you give me a little Aladdin. So like, you know, the genie dance, you know, you give me a little some style there.
Or just rub the lamp.
Rub the lamp, rub the ball, rub the shoe.
Yeah. Ah, right.
Okay. There you go. What else do we got?
Lady in the Tramp?
No, I don't think we're doing any of those.
That one wouldn't fit.
Social distancing.
Yeah, fair. That's fair. Well played, Kaylin.
Social distancing is definitely there. You can also do like Beauty and the Beast. You can do something there.
What about Frozen? Is there a good Frozen one?
But I mean, if I had the samurai top knot, right, and I scored a goal, I would just like do the twirl like Elsa, is that her name? Elsa does in Frozen, and like the hair comes down. Like that's it. You know who could do that? Jamar Kimmery, the center back for Vancouver. He's got the hair to do an Elsa celebration.
All he needs to do is score a goal now.
I would bust out maybe some Hercules.
Nice. That's a good movie.
Never seen it.
Oh man, that is one of the
You know who Hercules is. That's all I need to know.
Hercules.
You know who he is. Just throw him up.
That movie is so good. They got the Gospels. Everyone's singing. Yes. It's a lot of fun. Charlie.
Who doesn't like Greek mythology?
Yeah, I don't know. Toodle Ramen, legend on Twitter, says, should hashtag MLS is back format come back next year? And if so, when during the season does it happen? What's the future, guys?
I think it should. I love the tournament. It might be difficult because I think it's very expensive. And I think that might be the hesitation from the league, because to hold up a whole hotel, maybe two, while people are trying to visit this theme park. I think it's going to be difficult to hold that down and make this a yearly thing. But
you can move it.
You can move it. But where are you going to go?
Vegas.
Actually, Kaylin and I had this conversation. You going to take it to where?
Vegas.
Vegas?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll work out nice.
Here's my proposal.
That'll be splendid.
Here's my proposal. You skim preseason a little bit, and you go into what is regular season, because cold weather cities shouldn't be playing home games in some of these dates. And you have about 6 weeks there, middle of February to end of March, where you play this tournament? Give me a date.
Do middle of January to middle of February.
Oh, yes. You literally make it preseason.
You get a 10-day preseason. Your preseason is January 5th to January 15th. East plays in Orlando or Miami. West plays in Vegas. Do two separate tournaments. You
get it all. The first three games, the group stage is done in 14 days. And then the knockout rounds are done by February 20th. And like, it's the same format as this tournament. You play the championship in either Orlando or Miami or Vegas. And then you kick off the regular season the last week of February, just like we did this year.
Or LA, San Diego.
One thing I would like to see changed is to make it more east-west. I think it's been intriguing to watch, to see Orlando, you know, go against Minnesota today. But ultimately, if we're trying to build rivalries in this league, which is something that has been a big priority for you know, leagues and the club, I want to see.
Andrew Weeby just
I
think that you want to see, like, what's going on?
You just hit him with a bro, a Weeby bro. Oh, man. Oh, that was too much.
It's the East Coast versus West Coast gap. You guys are on another level right now. I think you guys are just, it's the tired. But anyways, I think, like, to see Orlando, I like the East-West. I just think to see Orlando go through and knock out all the teams in the East till the way to the final.
Right.
And some of the bad blood that could be created from that, or them winning that. Or I just think
to set the tone for the season.
Yeah, but I think that would be a cooler way.
Yeah, to go just through. Like All-Star. Just does like any, All-Star. Bring back East-West.
Does anyone have, and our producer Chris threw this in there because he's a genius, Liga MX integration in any way?
No.
Replacing League's Cup with this or no?
Mm-hmm.
Or adding it? What Doyle's just saying yes, and Charlie's just saying
yeah. I mean, well, why would you not? Just figure out the right venues to do it, and hopefully, you know, there's a vaccine that works with COVID, and that's like obviously the elephant in the room with everything.
Oh, yeah. We'll be good in 2024.
Hopefully before then, Charlie. Why would you not? There's interest on both, in both MLS and Liga MX to do it. We get hype for Champions League games. I had my doubts about League Cup, but those games ended up being fun as hell. Mm-hmm. Campione's Cup last year was freaking amazing. Like, why not start the year with a Liga MX MLS integrated tournament? Obviously, there's a lot of moving pieces. Like Charlie said, it's super expensive. I don't know if it's all going to be Orlando or Vegas or maybe, you know, someplace in Mexico. But people, like, this tournament has been fun.
But the time, that if you add another league to it, the time that would take to go through that, I mean, it would have to be almost like you would have to do a select, because League's Cup is just a select four teams, right? And and Campeones Cup is one match. And so logistically, to put both of those together in a already condensed window to kick off the season, I think would be tough to do unless you really limited the pool, which that could be fun. I'd be down for that. And
another incentive for the regular season, right?
Yeah.
So,
Kalen, you put the Eastern Conference in Cancun. You put the Western Conference in Cabo San Lucas. You bring Liga MX teams. You play a little soccer.
I'm a Western Conference guy. You know I'm all about Cabo. Oh.
Doyle got to use his timeshare to be more convenient for work life.
Vacation club. It's a vacation club.
Everything gets tied in. Let's move deeper into the mailbag. Luke Mathieu here, who says, if Chase Gasper does not move up the national team depth chart at left back solely because of his absolute filth that he hit Ruhu on with, something is wrong. With Greg Berhalter, on a serious note, Gasper needs to be considered for competitive games at left back. He was Minnesota's best player tonight.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
He's definitely in the pool, and like, he definitely has more sauce on the ball than I ever thought. And he showed it a number of times in this tournament, but especially tonight when he broke Juan's ankles there. But he didn't. His cross was terrible. Afterwards, like, you have to complete
a shot.
Who cares about that? Oh, come on, Daryl. You have a private Instagram. Your opinion is meaningless in this. That's in this true. Debate.
I do have a private Instagram. And you have Twitter drafts, Kalen. Okay, if we want all the, secrets.
I immediately texted Heath Pierce to be like, "Man, I hope this doesn't take your spot because this was dirty." Chase Gasper got him there.
But he's a good player, right? Like he definitely has, he definitely checks a lot of boxes. I'm not sure I'm ready to throw him in at the top, but like the next camp, if he's there, I don't think anybody's going to complain.
Yeah.
There aren't many options at left back. So when you look across MLS, American players playing that position who are doing it well and are consistent, he's definitely up there. So
yeah,
should he be in the pool? Yeah, he is, and he is in the pool. Is he the guaranteed star at left back for the U.S. men's national team? No, not at all, especially when you're talking about Serginho Dest moving over there to the left because no one has stepped up to say, hey, I'm not only capable of playing in CONCACAF, but I'm capable of competing in a World Cup and on the international level, being one of the a consistent player at the left back position. So, I think he has a potential. He's rock solid. He's consistent. But like Doyle pointed out, you need to improve in every facet of the game. It's always, you're always improving. You're always growing as a player. But I think for a lot of these younger American players, you know, Chase is 24 years old. He's not 20 or 18 or 19, which you think because he's relatively new to the league. He's 24 years old. So he's probably got a year or two to really make a difference to be, you know, a long-term solution for the U.S. men's national team at the left back spot. But I really like him. He's got a great mentality. He's got a good personality. And I think he knows how to get better. He just has to continue to improve.
Charlie, this is a Pedro Gasper only fan club on this show. Don't you dare even take away from this.
Sorry,
young man.
Pedro.
Graham underscore FL, which I assume is Florida, also says, I hope there's a realistic scenario where João Moutinho is the future left back of the USMNT. He doesn't even have citizenship. So that's a pretty far way down, but he did come here for college at a young age. So who knows? Fern PDX on Twitter says, can you record the show after a couple of shots? Don't worry, you're good. We got you on that one. Abu Bakar Balo on Twitter says, respect to Adrian Heath, losing the Adrian Heath rivalry to keep the brand strong.
Oh, Adrian doesn't deserve that. He had a fantastic... No, he had a fantastic... And I'll put my hand up. I'll say I doubted last year, and then this year, going into this tournament without Aiko Parra, I wrote him off. I said they're 3-0. I said there's no chance without Aiko Parra that they're going to advance. But they did more than just advance. They got out of the group stage in style. They got all the way to the semifinals. They put up a really good fight. And if Charlie teaches Mason Toy how to head the ball, maybe they would have advanced on penalties. But, you know, that's for next round, I guess.
That's what happens when you're a super sub and you come in and you score and you do your job, which is just to change the game and add to it, which you did. And then you didn't have enough time to really get acclimated to the game. So you miss one header that you probably should have done better with. And you get judged on that instead of saying, you know what? You're a sub and your job is just to come in and add to the game. Oh, you came in. You not only added, you got the goal. Well done. That's a 10 out of 10 for a substitute. Instead of that, we're talking about a missed chance. It's a hypothetical. It's a cross that he probably didn't see, or obviously he didn't, and it went the wrong way. So, I guess I should be saying, man, Mason Toy, work on that header, please.
So I have a few more in the mailbag. They're all things that I would be lighting the ground on fire with and walking away.
You got to give us one more.
Okay, one more here from Dave Spitzberger.
It's 1:41. Keep them coming.
Does anyone else think Jurgen Klinsmann would be a great choice for Atlanta?
Oh, that's the show. Good night. That's the show, guys.
And on that note,
give me anyone else. Literally, give me anyone else in Major League Soccer.
So we've got three things for you. Pedro Gasper, starting national team.
Do you really think Carlos Bocanegra is going to hire the guy who cut him from the national team?
I think there's one name on the Atlanta United head coaching list, and it's Charlie Davies. And if it's not that, I'm not watching MLS.
Then you're lost.
That's it.
If I'm Atlanta and I want to make some sort of splash.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. Who else is wearing a Mickey Mouse sweatshirt into his initial press conference?
Hey, I'm just throwing it out there. But Landon Donovan is also available. He's a head coach for San Diego Loyal.
Yeah, that's true.
There. And on that note, congratulations to Orlando. Congratulations to Portland. We'll be back on Monday with your finals preview for the first ever MLS is Back tournament with Andrew Wiebe. Have a great night, great morning, great afternoon, whatever it is you're doing. Thank you for listening.